All right, I think we're set. All right, so anytime I talk to anybody about Noster, one of the first things that they always bring up is, oh, the relays. Yeah, that's going to be an issue as we continue to scale. And how are we going to make sure that they remain decentralized 5-10 years from now? And you really kind of look at the long tail. We have some of the brightest minds in the space that are building, that have had experiences with relays. And I want to actually start off with you, sir. Because yesterday we were sitting over there, and you were kind of, you weren't frustrated, but at the same time you wanted to bring up a concern that you've had with running your own relay and the challenges. And I would just, you know, encourage you to kind of tell everybody here what we were talking about when we were sitting over in the corner of the room there.
Well, now my whole perspective changed now after watching Ravel give his talk. I mean, you know, I have no complaints now. It's all, you know, hunky-dory. But to kind of go off of what we're talking about, we're sort of, I'm kind of working on a mental analogy in my head where, you know, I know it's easy to say, like, you know, when we get to problems, we'll address them then. But some of these, I feel like some of the problems is more like we need to build a 50-foot bridge and we only brought 20-foot worth of wood. And it's like, well, yeah, we're going to get to that problem, but what's the plan? And some of these things are kind of like seeable now. And one of the big ones, I think, is dealing with people purposely being malicious. And then it's like, well, you know, we'll worry about that when it comes. We'll you know, I've dealt with that stuff. And it's like, we didn't know what to do necessarily. And these are sort of, you know, we talked about paid relays yesterday. And Rabble and Ben are big fans of the ideas of paid relays being sort of like maybe the way big relays operate in the future. So that sort of addresses this idea of, like, you know, people being malice, essentially stopping spam through, you know, maybe like payments, getting onto, you know, the privilege of using a relay. But yeah, that's sort of more or less where I was getting at, was when people are, you know, when you start snowballing and you start building this community, kind of like, you know, what Ravel's getting at, you know, you want your trajectory to go up and to the right, or for the audience this way, you know, you have these events that happen where you peak and then something happens and then you kind of collapse, condense that snowball. You're kind of left with like more of the core people, and then you lose all the fluff around, and then you miss out, you know, you stop the snowballing. And I would hate for that to happen with Noster or any other, you know, Bitcoin, you know, kind of like has happened with Bitcoin a couple of times when we lost the Bitcoin Cash people, you know, arguably. And you know, I don't want Noster to grow and then it fractures off into more, you know, other smaller projects. That's not what we want. So, yeah, so that's kind of, I don't know if that's where you want to take it, yeah, but that's sort of my
curious,
concern.
Yeah, I'm curious the rest of the panel, as you guys hear that, do you share some of that sentiment or concern of paid relays really kind of having the actual incentive to drive it?
I'm not sure paid relays will really pan out that much. People don't really want to pay upfront for these kind of things. The friction of it is kind of like, somebody's offering it for free, I'm going to go there. Then that guy disappears with the relay because it's free. Then they start trying to go back to the paid relay, but it's missing the events from the original one. So I'm not completely sold on it. I do think that when applications start forming around Noster, like if you have a very specific use case, you'll you want to build a business on it, you'll run your own relay for your stuff. You might gatekeep it a bit, but the data is still open, so you can export it, put it in something else. I think it's going to be more like business driven. Like, I don't think people are going to pay specifically to join relays. I think it'll be a business running a relay for its users, specifically for its users, and maybe they'll share the data. It'll be cross-compatible, obviously. So I think that's one way.
Yeah, ever since I got into Noster, that's like one of the first things that I thought. And I immediately thought, okay, paid relays are not going to be a thing. And I always thought of relays are just cost centers. When you pay for your Twitter Blue subscription, whatever it's called, you don't pay for, okay, $4 for to be higher on the thread, and $1 is for the infra. Like, you you pay whatever it is, and you are paying part of that. It's paying for the cost of running the infra and ops and whatever. I've always thought that the vast majority of big relays are just going to be part of the budget for a company. But the optionality of being able to, I'm also going to store my data on this personal relay or on this community relay, adds some color to the equation. I do think that there is a case for paid relays, but you're not paying for the data storage, you're not paying for the accessibility to the relay. You're paying because there is something special going on in that relay, and you want access to that relay. And you're not paying for the relay, you're paying for access to the data. I've been working on NIP29, which is like groups and communities and stuff like that. And to me, the question is, which is an unanswered question yet. What is the right relay? What is the best relay? When most people join and understand what relays are, they think, okay, what is the best relay? We don't really have a good answer. But to me, the good answer is not about speed or availability or uptime. It has the data that I care about. It has the people that I want to interact with. And I would be willing to pay for a relay. Like, when you think about what Patreon is access to a community. When you think about paid Telegram groups or whatever it might be, it's access to a community. You're not paying for the technology itself and the ops itself. You're paying, and part of that to serve the what you want is running those ops. So I also have like strong disagreements with a lot of what you presented. I do want fragmentation. I think fragmentation is fantastic, and I think that's what Nostr enables. It enables a very organic, very human-centered fragmentation, not a technological fragmentation. Million.
I think it's good to maybe just stop and assess where we're at right now, to acknowledge the situation we're in currently, which is we have a couple thousand active relays that are publicly accessible, which to me, that fact alone to me is pretty amazing and unbelievable. When I discovered Nostr, my first question was like, okay, cool, who's going to run the relays? Why would anyone run relays? And most people kind of had that thought. But the fact is that we have like thousands of relays that are up and running and actively, publicly available. So this public relay infrastructure that's available to anyone to use currently that we have, that's interesting. Why is this happening? Like, and this is peacetime Nostr. We're not getting actively attacked currently. We're not getting attacked too much by spammers, really, yet. Like,
comes and goes.
It comes and goes. You kind of see the waves of spam. But I would expect orders of magnitude higher attacks as we become more successful. Also, we're not, no one's really trying to actively censor Nostr yet. We haven't reached that level of success yet.
Other than Will.
Other than JB?
Yeah, JB, whenever he nukes the relay and he censors everybody.
Which is a great service to Nostr every 100%. Time he does that, right? So I think it's good to kind of assess that and try to understand why this is happening. It seems like, there are a number of kind of bigger relays related to products and services that have been stood up on Nostr, so that's amazing. I think that's reasonable to expect that this will continue. Certainly at Primal, we run a relay and we're planning to have like a paid relay as a part of our kind of premium service in the future. When it comes to paid relays, to me it makes sense to kind of offer that service as a part of a bigger offering, not just the paid relay in itself. But who knows? Like we said previously, everything is allowed, so everything will be tried. So for sure, we'll get a ton of different kind of business models attempted out there, and we'll see what sticks. But to me, the most impressive impressive parts of Nostr is this ecosystem that has already developed and it continues to grow of just products and services that people are standing up and using, just acting in their own self-interest. That to me is pretty wild. I don't know if any of this helps, but
can I respond to like a little bit what you were saying earlier? So the first one is, I think like you're right about talking about the use cases for paid relays, just to kind of follow up on that. But I think the big one that we're missing here is just the straight up use case of spam prevention. So even if you know, like right now it's insanely difficult to prevent spam on Nostr, given malice with a large set of IPs, you know, tens of thousands of IPs, hundreds of thousands of IPs, whatever it might be. And if they really want to fuck with you, they can. And you can do IP banning, but when you look at your Datadog or New Relic and you start understanding your data, you're like, oh my God, I'm only getting a few requests per IP, and they're doing this crazy attack pattern, you know? So having, you know, one time, you know, similar to like how some Telegram channels are like a one-time pay, like, hey, we just want to make sure you're not a bot kind of thing. Like, even if it's like insanely small amounts of money, like one Satoshi. The idea is like now you have some vested interest. It's not just this super ephemeral insect in pub that is a total throwaway, like completely. It's more just like, hey, if I am abusive with this reputation, I have to spend another Satoshi to get a brand new one in order to post on this relay. And that's actually, that on itself would be super powerful. So when I'm talking about a paid relay, it doesn't necessarily have to be this like thing where it's like, oh, it's going to be this paywall. It's more just like, it's going to be like this awesome spam prevention micropayment thing that hasn't really been possible before. So I think it's like really cool. And then you talked about another point. You were talking about fragmentation. I want to make sure that when we're talking about fragmentation here, we have to be careful. Like, I'm talking about fragmentation in terms of like the usefulness and the protocol. You don't want people to interpret things radically different. And you have a, you know, you want things to be messy. Like, kind of going back to what Rabble had, an amazing presentation, by the way. But you can easily, in my opinion, get confused where you're like, oh, it's messy and chaotic and fun, and but things are still like productive versus things are chaotic and nothing makes sense and now I'm confused, you know? And like when I'm talking about fragmentation, I'm talking about someone taking their chips and saying, hey, I want to invent a new protocol, a new network that's non-interoperable. That's what I was getting at there. So that's what I don't want, right? I like the spirit of what Rabble was saying, you know, like the idea of like, you know, free, let free, you know, like, you know, experiment and all that kind of stuff. But still, you have like this base interoperability, you know what I mean? So that's what I want to make sure like kind of stays core there.
So the way I see Nostr is, I think for the most part, NIP 01, so the first NIP, is Nostr. A lot of the other NIPs are protocols on top of Nostr, and it's okay to have a competition of protocols that are built on top of Nostr. So DMs are perfect example. So Jeff Gardner did a presentation yesterday going over all the NIPs. I don't even remember all the DMs and encryption NIPs because we have so many. We have NIP 04, NIP 44, we have GRIPFRAF, we have NIP 17, we have NIP 29, 28. And those are not completely competing, but 90% competing protocols. I think that's okay. I don't think necessarily the best and most elegant protocol will win. NIP 04 is horrendous in super, like in a lot of ways, but it has a lot of traction. Maybe it will win. Like, I don't know. I hope not, but it might. But I think that's fine, and I think that's just the market or just us as a community finding what works, what's true, and maybe we will continue to have a few different competing standards for a while. Bitcoin Cash is somehow still producing blocks. So like, that could be the case, that we have like this horrible DM spec that refuses to die with 1% of adoption. It could be. So I don't have a huge problem. Like, I don't have a problem at all with that. I think it's healthy to have these competing standards. And with regards to the pay relays, so I think I don't like the idea of to join a relay, you need to pay outright, because that creates, like, that kind of removes yourself, and that's fine, like yourself as the relay operator from the problem, because a person that is onboarding and they don't have Bitcoin, then they can't join your relay. So, like, and it's fine to remove yourself from the equation, because it is an efficient way to combat spam, for sure. Nos.lol, for example, for new pub keys that it has no idea, they don't have any follows, first time you see that pub key, it requires 28 bits of proof of work on the events that you send. And after a while, it removes the proof of work requirement from the node, and you're just able to publish whatever you want. I think that is one solution. So I think we have a bunch of different solutions. You could, and when you say IP banning, you have IP plus pub key, right? So you can do, like, it's not the rate limiting doesn't need to only account for the IP. It can also take into account the pub key that the event is coming from. So, like, I mean, we'll see when we are actually stress tested. But I think we have a lot of different solutions. Like, another solution could be, if I join a brand new pub key and I start publishing events, maybe the relay takes your event for an hour. Relays are very aggressive with rate limiting, so you are not going to be able to publish like a whole slew of events. I think the Deimos relay does like 5 events per minute or something.
Right, but this is silly, because you just make a script that creates infinite amount of npubs, so it doesn't really solve anything. But I think you brought up an interesting thing with the proof of work idea, right? As a mechanism for additional rate limiting versus just the you know, small payments. What other sort of strategies have been deployed? Like, has anyone successfully done like any sort of web of trust spam prevention with npubs that is widely deployed? What is that?
Yeah, so for example, I run a relay, it's the one that only accepts, it's 140 dot, well, that my name. So that relay only accepts nodes that are up to 140 characters, so like Twitter. And that one is based on my web of trust. So you can only write to it based from my perspective, only if you are, and that's like 30,000 people.
And then is it like tiered, where like the more liked or trusted you are, you can do more volume of data, or what was that like?
No, and then I just apply like the normal rate limiting factors.
Okay, but then how do we? Okay, so you have the idea of like payments, right? You have the idea of proof of work. You have the idea of like web of trust stuff. But if you go too much web of trust stuff, I think the analogy of like, then it becomes a D&D game, you know, these relays become D&D games, so then it gets like, you know, gotta be kind of cognizant of like what that, you know, if every relay has a different web of trust sort of permission schema kind of idea, then it's like we're just maybe like reinventing like a, not necessarily a worse version of Mastodon, but just like a different version of like this kind of like permit, you know, rule set. I like the D&D analogy. I don't know how to take that any further, but yeah. But
yeah, I think so. Another tool is you accept events for like an hour, say, and if there is no engagement on that pub key, then you remove it. I don't know, but I think this is not such a novel problem either. And we have a bunch of
well, it is a super novel problem because of the identity system on Nostr is super ephemeral. So it is a novel problem where other social medias don't have to really deal with this.
Yeah, but you have you do have the IP address, like, so with regards to IP address based rate limiting, which is already a thing when it doesn't come with any type of identity attached to the request. So
Right. But think about how Google like prevents people from making mass amounts of Google emails, right? They use all kinds of data. They have a sophisticated process. They use your IP. They do all kinds of stuff. They'll use the device that you're using to make the. They have a whole list of heuristics on how they do that. I mean, like, right? Are we saying that we have to? Relay operators are essentially going to need to do something similar, or what do you mean?
No. So, but here's the thing. Google needs to protect this one system, which is on the background, there's like a bunch of servers and whatnot, but they need to protect this one system, gmail.com, right? Whereas, in order to attack Nostr in this way, you'll need to attack it's such a large moving target.
But you can reuse the same attack pattern for all the relays hypothetically if they're all using the same sort of protection mechanisms. It's like you squash one Google and they're like, oh, there's like 20 more Googles, but then you just use the same attack vector and you squash
20. There are 20,000 more Googles.
But what I'm trying to say is you just rinse and repeat. Because think about it, there might be 1,000 relays, but they're not all popular and they're not all well run and they're not all robust and they're going to fall over as soon as they get, a few dozen requests per second. And you're going to have some that can take thousands of requests per second, right? Plus, what I'm trying to say is I don't think it's actually that hard. Like if someone truly wants to be malicious, it's not like a big deal. That's why I'm thinking like that's what I was trying to say. Like the small tiny payment is like super interesting because it does something that like really wasn't possible to be thwarted so easily. Like it's like such an easy way, and it's like, whoa, this is crazy.
But it's too easy. Like, if somebody's going to be malicious about the situation, then they're just going to get a Lightning wallet and fund.
Yeah, but then...
Like, 10,000 cents will get you 10,000 NPUBs in there.
Yeah, but then you... But that...
Like, if
I don't
it's one sat...
No. Dude, one sat is huge when you're talking about millions of transactions and you can ban accounts and you have to recreate those accounts for one Satoshi. An attacker soon is like, wait a minute, I'm just paying this guy money... In order to
it's been
spam
done.
Them.
It's been done so many times on Bitcoin on-chain. Like dust attacks,
Yeah,
like
but then this
thing.
Goes into what's spam. This is a whole different conversation.
I'm not talking about the
if you play for... All right.
I'm optimistic that the combination of Web of Trust, payments, and proof of work will solve spam once we actually start getting hammered by a bunch of spam. And it will be very obvious which relays are set up to handle all of this and which ones aren't. Also, which indexers are able to handle this. Because like we run an indexer, of course, and there are other people who run indexers. And we get attacked when any relay gets attacked, right, if we try to index all of this. So I think, I'm optimistic that a combination of these things where if your MPUB is in some sort of, it has like a higher trust ranking in the Web of Trust, you don't need to provide proof of work or a payment. But if you're a new user, a new account, whatever the application that's posting your note needs to do a bit of proof of work just to kind of add some cost to it, or send one sat to a relay, to me that seems like, I don't see why this wouldn't work as a solution.
Do you get the impression that none of this would have been possible unless we had a Lightning network where you can charge one sat of proof of work?
We certainly have tools and weapons that legacy networks don't have, like the Lightning network. Like we're in that we're willing to use this, right?
I think Lightning is an elegant solution, but kind of going back, I think there's obviously ideas of combinations of time delay, proof of work where you're actually having to crunch something, and then where something where it's like, hey, this identity has been around long enough where they don't need to do that proof of work. I think if Lightning didn't exist, I think Nostr would still be okay. Like, I think Lightning's obviously an elegant solution to that, but you maybe have alternatives that are still okay.
Yeah, I see the Lightning piece not as fundamental for this part, for like the spam prevention. I do see it as close to fundamental for in order to be able to run the actual relay and pay for your infra without KYCing yourself. not tying, not requiring the legacy payment. Because if the relay operations are sitting on top of the fiat payment system, then you can get WikiLeaked, right? Like you can get the same operation of, okay, you're running this release, but we're shutting you down because you cannot pay for your invoice. So to me, that is the important part where you need, and it doesn't require Lightning, it just requires Bitcoin, but Lightning makes it better. But yeah, to me with the spam prevention is like all these things are tools on the relay operator toolset. Like even the proof of work, as you see spikes as a relay operator that are like 100x from what is normal to receive in terms of event count, you might start ratcheting up the proof of work requirement. When it goes down, you can lower it. Clients are, like, we have standardized to say like a client can see that the relay is rejecting you because of the proof of work requirement, and the client can act based on that.
If we fast forward, call it 5-10 years from now, and we see large relays out there, do you still see those relays being all paid relays, a mix of paid and not paid? And if you have large relays that aren't paid, I'm assuming that's being paid for by some type of AI algorithm, data harvesting type scenario, which bifurcates basically the user is then looking at this and saying, I'm basically giving away my data for free, and then they're going to do all these things because of it, or I can pay for this relay and not be a victim of them using my data. Is that the future you see 10 years from now with how the backbone of this infrastructure is being run, or am I like way off base with kind of thinking?
I think any of the data, once it's out there on Nostr, it's going to be harvested regardless. It's public data. It's the same API. As long as you have access to it, whether you're posting new events or not, you still have access to it all. So maybe it will be easier because you want people to post stuff for free to the relay so that you can harvest the data, analyze it, train something with it. Fair enough, but I still think it's going to be business oriented. Like Primal runs a relay. I'm connected to the relay. Whether they allow my event kinds to run on it, well, right now you do. Like I post, I use the CoinJoin coordinator discovery mechanism. I point to your relay. I use my own kind. You let it run in there, so eventually you'll probably ban it. Yeah?
Allegedly.
I don't run a coordinator. I just run the discovery tool. Eventually, I think it's going to be business-oriented. Like, I used to run my own relay for the discovery event. They started attacking me. I didn't want to run a whole relay full of RAM and all that stuff. Like, screw that. I just send them to you. Eventually, this will be blocked. Like, if you have your own business to run, you don't want to get attacked. If I'm giving you the attack vector, you'll cut me off. Then I can run my own relay and protect it in a more serious way if I have to.
Yeah, so all of this makes sense. I think it's reasonable to expect that there will be probably dozens, maybe hundreds of big relays, maybe even thousands of big relays, and a massive long tail. Who knows how many relays?
Very, very long hobbyist tail, but really like 6 relays that are like super popular, probably. That's what
I think that's very pessimistic. I think we'll have way more than 6.
But the idea that
we're talking like 10 years out, that was the question, right?
Yeah.
And so you're thinking like some sort of Pareto distribution where like almost everyone's on the top 5 relays. I hope that's not the
future. I think that's super optimistic for me. Like, I think like that. You know, open software, open protocol, open ideas of all these things is really powerful. You know, like for instance, it's a similar idea of like saying, "Hey, I'm using Bitcoin, but I'm not running a node." But you know, you can run a node, and that by itself is really, really important. If you couldn't, if I could use Bitcoin, but I know I couldn't run a node, that like actually changes me, even though if I don't run a node or not.
So,
like
so here's another way to look at it. Like if we say. We believe that majority of the big relays will be kind of business-backed, business-related. I am convinced that there will be many more than six successful businesses on top of Nostr.
Well, hold on. There's a difference between businesses that are successful and when you download an app, how many, like, which you know, relays are you going to connect to? And I think there's going to be very, very popular ones that you want to connect to that are going to be super dominant. I'm not, I mean, I'm still saying there's going to be a long tail of hobbyists and even then maybe a bunch of, a ton of middle tier stuff. But, you know, when you are spinning up a Nostr client, you know, how many relays do you think you're going to be connecting to by default?
So at Primal, we started off, like, just for kind of expediency's sake, we started off with, like, kind of connecting people to the most popular relays, and then we realized recently that that's not really the best practice. And what we changed was we kind of keep track of all of the active relays. We mentioned maybe a couple thousand of them. So what we do now is we spread them out. So a new user gets assigned a dozen relays semi-randomly from that list. So we kind of spread out the new users across.
But these aren't like Bitcoin nodes. These aren't like fungible relays.
They aren't.
So that's going to create different UX.
Yes. So the logic actually picks a handful of big relays, like one or two big ones, and spreads out the rest.
So the rest are kind of like LARPing a little bit, but really it's the big relays that are doing the heavy lifting there, you know? Right?
We're doing our best to spread it out.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying 10 years from now is a long time. I'm thinking if Nostr is successful, it's like, for me, well...
If Nostr is successful, I think we're looking at hundreds of businesses with lots of users.
Well, how many of those are going to be open?
Question in here. You know? So... when we're looking at how nature progresses...
We're having our moment here.
No, this is all good. But I think this is what we're really getting at, is when we look at nature and we look at how it progresses, and you look at a forest that's growing and cropping up, right, and you have all these different species inside of that forest, you're saying that's healthy. I can see the growth. I can see these things happening. There's large trees. There's small plants, right? So when we look at the network of relays, we have large relays. We have... You know, I'm running a relay off of my umbral, right, which is just backing up my speech. When we look at that trend, and I know we don't have a lot of data here because we're dealing with like 2 years of growth, are we seeing a natural looking growth of relays, small and large, or are we seeing some type of consolidation with a primal relay that's just taking over and it's totally dominating the entire space? What are we seeing?
By the way, that's not the case at all in terms of relays. Primal is not dominating. I don't think we're even in the top 10 or top 20 relays.
So no, we are. So if we are looking at the trend is, it's kind of either flat or going in the wrong direction. And there is really good reason for...
In terms of distribution or
in terms of active relays and relays being used in general. And there is really good reason for that. So we started with a bunch of enthusiastic people in Nostr. We can say that there are a few of us that want to run the relay, just like we want to run the node. 50% of the Bitcoin nodes are not actually used, but we want to run the node, we want to run the relay, right? The vast majority, and yes, I am going to mention Outbox for the ones that know the punchline, the vast majority of clients said, oh, well, figuring out to which relays I should connect to, it's kind of hard. I'm just going to let the user say, okay, you can add this relay, but I'm just going to hard code as a client developer. I'm just going to hard code relay.demos and relay.primal and nos.lol and maybe two more relays to be safe. So obviously everything centralized around 4, 5, 6, 10 relays. Obviously the problem with that is that if those relays ban you, or you cannot access them, or they delete your stuff, or whatever happens, your data's gone. If you are not in those relays, you are not seen by most people. So for example, I follow Mike Dilger from Gossip, and from some clients, if I go to his profile, because he doesn't publish to any of the big relays, I see nothing. Like, I see just the profile and no feed and zero events from him. So that's where the Outbox model, formerly known as Gossip Protocol, comes in, where the client says, oh, like you were saying just now, there are a bunch of clients, but what relays are they going to use? What relays are they going to use? That is the most important question. Like, that is 90% of the problem that needs to be solved. Not the problem that needs to be solved, the problem that needs to be addressed by more clients. And I see a very healthy, positive direction in this sense. A lot of clients are implementing or have implemented the Outbox model. And that response, because yes, until 6 months ago or 1 year ago, it was mostly LARPing, right? Like what, like you just said, oh, choosing the small relays, it's mostly LARPing. Because no one reads from
them. I use that in a kind sense, you know. I LARP, you know, as a, you know,
wait,
like running, I mean, running a relay is fun. Turns,
we all LARP. Yeah. So but with the Outbox model, I will actually go and connect to your relay, and I will actually use it to fetch data from you, without me having to, like the user having to make all these decisions on where to go and add this manually this relay, and. So far, we've been mostly talking about the global use case, which I think it's why it's coloring the conversation, and we need to understand that we are talking about this one specific use case of Nosser. In my mind, the Outbox model for that particular use case, the Outbox model is kind of mandatory. It's, you can't really have censorship resistance and good UX, if you don't care about censorship resistance, without the Outbox model. For the communities, for the private groups, like for like an internal Slack type or Discord type, Outbox is wrong for a big, and like Telegram and Discord, these are huge use cases, right? So we need to understand that part also exists. But for the Twitter, for the more public square style conversation, Outbox is kind of fundamental. Because otherwise, yes. Otherwise, it is LARPing. But I think in that sense, we're trending in the right direction. The number of relays has been responding to the fact that no client was implementing Outbox, or very few clients was implementing Outbox. But in that sense, we are trending in the right direction.
Cooks, what are your thoughts?
So, I think, honestly, my idea would be to kind of like start trying to separate, like, you know, you're trying to work on communities and groups. What if every community and group, we've talked about this for years now in Nosster, basically having a relay for different topics. You separate a community based by relay. And that would allow some leeway for scale to some degree.
But there has to be a natural incentive, an economic incentive for that.
It could be just a community, right? Like if you're just segregating to smaller relays just based on topic, I mean, you probably still need some kind of gateway. Like people don't want to connect to like 50 different relays based on the topic. You have to be smart about it. You have to filter on demand. Like you have to have some entry server, which will direct you to the right direction.
All right, y'all ready for what will actually happen? All right, so six relays is actually super optimistic. Let me jump back. I'm not being pessimistic when I say that. Pessimistic would be like what GitHub did. They dominated the Git protocol. Everyone's using GitHub, and now we're like, oh shit, if we want to go to GitLab, it's like we're losing a lot of like the niceties from GitHub, right? Because they've done such a damn good job, and it's free and all blah, blah, blah. So like you have this free relay that does like a really good job. They don't make you do any proof of work, no payments, all this stuff. They do like super sophisticated Google-like authentication, weird shit, you know, Illuminati, CIA type verification that we all understand. And then they have the great UX, and then they decide to make rule changes and stuff, but they're at such large scale that like It's like, oh, everyone's going through this relay, and that's more dystopic. If you have at least three or four like really big relays that are doing really good jobs, everyone kind of holds each other accountable, because it's like, oh, if Twitter clone A does a bad job, I go to Twitter clone B. But it's like, you know, but if it's just Twitter, right, and then they do something you don't like, you don't have a perfect clone of this thing. But with Nostr, you would have that. And I'm thinking that's optimistic. Optimistic is like you have choices, and these choices kind of hold the whole thing together. And pessimistic would be like we only have one choice because someone did a really good job and no one really competed with them.
If everyone has the same opportunity on Nostr, which we all do, why would you think that there would be only one competent player to execute something? Well, like this? There would be many competent players.
It's a magnet, right?
Can I ask you a question? Why did GitHub get so popular?
It's a really bad analogy, because GitHub is creating a bunch of really useful metadata that you can't export. Like, you can't, just because you do a Git clone, you don't have obviously
the issues. Okay, like, when Git started, what, in like 2016? When did Git start?
No, wait.
I mean, I'm going to jump in here. We literally had a presentation yesterday on a new decentralized GitHub, right? Let's say look at the speech that's happening around the world right now and how stupid it already is, and how people, governments are trying to step in and censor what people can say and do and where they can get it. If you don't think that in the next 4 years or 6 years or whatever, that that's only going to intensify and get worse and go after centralized GitHubs and things like that, you're out of your mind. I'm sorry. Like, that's going to happen. It's going to get worse. Like, we're just getting warmed up right now, folks, right? So when we see a presentation yesterday of a decentralized GitHub and the government maybe steps in and goes to GitHub and tries to, like, start preventing what can be seen and what can be posted and whatnot, I think there's a massive natural tailwind incentive to start posting into a decentralized version of that becomes a, who wants to run that relay? Who wants to have the economic incentive to back that up? There's a lot of people that are going to want to have that incentive to do it. So, I mean, I appreciate the pushback a ton, and that's why I wanted you up here on the stage, to be honest with you. But I think we also have to balance out the argument with what are we seeing from the backdrop of, like, what's happening in the world that's going to push and incentivize more people to come into this space, as to just saying this is what the world looks like today and nobody's going to move there. There's forces that are moving people towards this, and there's things that are also pulling people towards it. So what other things are you guys seeing? This is the question. What other things are you guys seeing that you think are these environmental factors that are going to push people towards Nostr and running a relay and having an economic incentive to do it outside of, let's say, GitHub?
Can I just respond to the GitHub question? So I don't think that's the best comparison, because, like, our pattern in Nostr is not to post to one relay. Right, like, so our pattern in all client Nostr clients is you post to a number of relays, maybe half a dozen or a dozen. So it will be very hard. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's a concern that we should kind of keep an eye on, but it will be very hard for just one player to kind of dominate the relay space.
Well, I mean, Git is like that. You can push to multiple repos, but, well, I mean, this is future thinking. Really, 10 years is hard to think about. Right. We're thinking 10 years ago, 10 years from now, when, you know, potentially volume 10,000 X's, right? And not every relay is going to be able. You're not going to, you know, there's not necessarily going to be tons of reliable relays that can handle tons of volume. You're going to have a bunch of hobbyists, like what you're saying, like the backup relay, where you send all your stuff to your backup. Like, I think that's going to be maybe a super common use case, right?
Yeah, but sorry, I need to challenge that false premise, because you kind of just, like, slid it in. This is all based on the assumption that all relays, like the forecast model, that all relays must keep all these huge chunks of data. Like, we have horizontal sharding within relays, within Nostr, just organically. We don't need to have these huge relays. If we have a 10,000x growth, the idea of, oh, and then the relays will crumble down because only one relay is going to be able to sustain. That is just that is just not how it works.
Well, it just depends what you think a relay's volume will be in the future. If you don't think relays are going to be like massive, you know, these massive ideas, then you're right. But if the idea that where people are all going to be pushing to the same relay potentially, like, hey, like that relay is really popular. All the clients send to like a bunch of relays, but also that one, and everyone sends that one. That relay is going to need to be like super beefy.
Yeah, and it will fall down. Because it
or maybe it doesn't because the business is running. But, and this is, goes back to the point I was trying to make about GitHub doing a really good job, right?
A client that does that is a malicious client, outright a malicious client.
Malicious for pointing to a relay.
For pointing to a single relay that the user can
They don't have
control.
To point to a single relay. I'm just saying all clients might point to a relay as one of their set of relays because it's a really popular one. That doesn't make them malicious.
If the user has no agency, whether they control it, I would say it's a malicious.
It's a business thing, though. It's a business decision to do that.
Yeah, it's a reasonable pattern that you're describing. I just don't think it centralizes around one relay.
When one relay sucks, it eventually will suck. If it gets too busy, people will move to the next one. That's what people do.
What happens if it doesn't suck?
Well, we got stick around until it does suck. So eventually.
We have two guys. We have 2 minutes. Okay. 2 minutes, I want each of you to take 30 seconds of your closing thoughts on the conversation, whatever it is that you want to highlight to the audience about this particular topic. Go ahead, Pablo, go first.
All right. I think the whole relay concern is 99% uncalled for. It's a top-down view of the world, looking for a solution where we all need to get together and decide what is going to happen in the next 10 years and what do we need to force the market to do. I think really number of relays, just like number of Bitcoin nodes, it will go up, it will go down as demand as are demanded. And I think I literally think that the only thing that matters is clients having Outbox, because the Outbox model fixes all of these issues without us having to make any grand plans and grand decisions.
Million.
I'm personally optimistic about the open market, free market, kind of handling this in an organic way, kind of what we've been doing so far. And I think it's also useful to have these types of discussions and brainstorms and try to identify problems before they become massive problems, right?
Very much so. Cooks.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out eventually because every business will probably want a reliable connection for their users. It's an open data structure. Everyone knows how to parse it, how to move it along. You're not walled in anymore. And that's good enough, honestly. I think it will just, if people hate the service they're on because something happened, they'll just move on to the next one.
I am a big fan of Nostr. I used to hate Nostr, actually, when it first came out. And then the more I talked to Joff and the more I use it, the more of a lover I became of it. I'm a super big fan of Nostr for ephemeral use cases. It shines so bright for ephemeral message passing and being a message buffer for projects and stuff, such as like super testnets, like coin join ideas, OAuth, like just the list goes on of just awesome developer experiences that Nostr enables because of its frictionless environment. I'm really looking forward to what do the reliable, persistent use cases look like. That's what I think we're really talking about here. And I think it is already doing an amazing job for the ephemeral stuff. As long as you don't care about that data being around forever, it's amazing right now. I'm really interested in, you know, we talked about so many different tools and pieces and strategies. I'm really interested to see which ones take off, you know, for those next use cases. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the debate. it was a good back and forth.